Hey, we're there. Hey, folks. Thanks for tuning in to a new episode of the BAMF Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we're here today to talk once again about our primary focus, which is superhero RPGs. And we've got a great group to do it with today, including from my left in the YouTube window is Dave Chalker, known as Dave the Game from Greater Than Games. How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're great. And thanks again for coming on. I know you guys are very busy and you got a ton going on right now. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk to us about Sentinels, the Multiverse RPG, which you just released the starter kit like a month ago?
Somewhere around there, yeah. November.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll come circle back and talk to that, but just thanks very much for coming on. Sitting next to Dave in the virtual YouTube studio here is Chris McLaughlin. How you doing, Chris?
I've been up since 2 a.m., so I'm wondering where all these goddamn bats came from.
What have you been doing up since 2, Chris?
Insomnia is back with a vengeance, unfortunately. I'll try not to get too weird.
I don't believe you, but that's cool. Next to Chris, we have Steve Kenson. How you doing, Steve?
I'm very well, thanks. Glad to be back.
I appreciate coming back. And last but not least, my frequent co-host and frequent host, actually, Walter Billiard. How you doing, Walt?
Good morning, and I have a cure for Chris's insomnia. It's jujitsu. Let me know. I'll come down anytime. Free classes. All you.
He's not Jewish.
There's a line in So I Married an Axe Murderer where Mike Myers talks about how there's only one Scottish martial art. It's called fuck you, and it involves just kicking people when they're down. I think that's pretty much all I've got.
Absolutely. So superheroes?
Superheroes. Yeah. So, Dave, tell us about Sentinels.
Sentinels. So, we made a role-playing game based on the Sentinels of the Multiverse universe.
Which is wildly successful and a whole lot of fun. If you haven't played it, check it out. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I run a extremely tiny game design consulting company, etc. And we approached the folks at Greater Than Games many years ago now about doing an RPG. Background, we were working on the Marvel RPG, and we are finally starting to see the fruits of that with the starter kit that, as we said, just came out sometime in November. All seems like a blur now. And have been, you know, following up on that, and we are working on a core rulebook right now for next year.
And this is you and Cam Banks, and who else?
And Phil Menard, and we have been working closely with Christopher at Greater Than Games, and all of the Greater Than Games folks have some role in it one way or another, but it's the core four of us working on the game itself and the writing. Oh, and Clark Valentine as well.
Okay, cool. That's got to be a whole lot of fun. I'm a big Sentinels fan. That's just a fun universe to play in, I would think.
Yeah, we had a meeting last year where we flew out to their offices and basically got a somewhere between 4 to 6 hour info dump of here's everything about Sentinels, including all the stuff that only people here know. And, you know, finding all that out was cool. And even after all that and working with the game, there's still fans that will come up and like know even more than I do. So it's always kind of an experience to work with.
Oh, hey, you know, while we're talking, we should go ahead and give away the starter kit. So any listener who wants to send a, what's your email address there?
If you use superscbr at gmail.com, that's what we've been using to funnel all of the BAMF-related giveaways that we've been doing.
Yeah, just put Sentinels RPG in the subject line and write to Walt, and we'll throw all those email addresses in a hat and send one lucky recipient a free PDF copy of the starter set, which is up for sale now on RPG Now. So Dave, how much does this game borrow from Marvel superheroes, or is it kind of its own thing?
It's definitely its own thing. We took a lot of the lessons that we had from Marvel, you know, some of the kind of rough edges and just, you know, after tons and tons of people playing the game, what things we could learn from that. But at the same time, you know, even though they're both superhero games, you know, I'm sure Steve will agree with this, but there's not really a one game fits all superhero game. You know, they have their own strengths and weaknesses. And so we really wanted to customize it towards you know, the kinds of things that Sentinels embodies and representing those characters well. And really starting from the character level instead of, hey, let's make another superhero game.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Dave, what kind of design goals did that give you?
So one of the things that we really wanted to take from the card game and to bring over to an RPG was the essence of teamwork, but also combos, you know, where when you're sitting down to play the card game, your specific mix of heroes kind of gives you a different feel to the game, and also like, oh, I can do this, that helps you do this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have this power that lets me do X, which will help you do X. And instead of kind of taking the approach that, you know, other than like covering the bases of, you know, I've got the strong guy and you've got the telepath, but also really encouraging a game that wants the heroes to work together and give each other bonuses and really see how their powers can interplay was really one of our early things. And one of the early playtests as well, we were looking for ways to represent that, you know, as the game goes on, as the card game goes on, then you've deployed all this extra stuff and you're more powerful, but also like the bad guys have deployed all this stuff mm-hmm. and they're kicking your ass a lot more. And so we have a thing in the game we call the GYRO system, green, yellow, red, out. But of course, if you pronounce it in another way, it's the hero system.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you take more damage and as the scene gets worse, you go from green to yellow to red, and you get access to more abilities and more things that you can do as the situation gets more desperate. And so that's another direct thing that it can be hard to take some of these card game elements like, you know, well, I didn't have that card in my hand, so I can't do that. You know, you can't really take that directly to an RPG because people ask, well, why can't I do that? That's my character.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we found a good middle ground that says, well, you know, you're not always going to bring out all of your, you know, you're not going to dive down deep against the bank robbers all the time to just obliterate them right away. It's only when the, you know, mm-hmm. stakes are really high that this is going to happen.
Right. You don't form Blazing Sword right away.
Exactly. You've got to...
End of the episode.
You've got to scuffle a bit as the individual lions and get your butt kicked, and then...
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool.
What kind of feedback have you been getting from fans from the Starter Kit so far?
Good. I don't know how many people have dived into it yet because it is still kind of a new release and, you know, it's holidays and whatnot, but there's been a lot of really enthusiastic fans, you know, asking rules questions, talking about, you know, stuff that they want to see from the final core game next year versus, you know, the basic rules that are in the starter kit. There's some developments in the story because, you know, the card game is having its big universe shattering and nothing will ever be the same moment with Oblivion coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the role-playing game takes place after Oblivion. And so some of the information that's in the starter kit is kind of your first glimpse of, you know, how this universe is going forward. And so people are kind of digging into some of those story details and seeing, you know, oh, did my favorite character survive or not? Or how did they get changed? And that kind of thing too.
So spoilers, cool.
Yep, for sure.
So you guys are looking to do a Kickstarter early next year, or is it still kind of up in the air?
I don't have exact timing on it yet. Hoping for early to mid next year. We are cranking away at getting the core book done. So, you know, we know for sure that that's going to be done by the time the Kickstarter is launched. Like, there will be text. And, you know, we're not afraid to say no matter how the Kickstarter does, there's going to be a core rule book. You know, that is definitely going to come out. Just the Kickstarter is going to determine how much other stuff we get to do with it, how many other books and supplements and further adventures and whatnot that we get to make as part of this game. So we're hopeful there.
Walt, please go ahead.
I have a question about the quick start rules. How do you determine what goes into a quick start, and what can fans expect when they click in and try this out for the first time?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we definitely didn't want it to be a subset of the rules. The only thing notably that you won't find in the starter kits is character creation stuff. It's all pre-made heroes from the Sentinels universe. So, you know, that's one of the big things that will be in the core book. But otherwise, you know, if you wanted to take those characters and keep playing your own adventures, then you would have everything you need in the starter kit. And at the same time, you know, a core rulebook is going to have more customizations you can make, more advice, more things on ongoing campaigns that you don't really need. The starter kit itself contains a full six-session long campaign that has some parts in the middle that you can do in any order. So, you know, it's got all that stuff you need in there, but some of the other finer details aren't in there. But, you know, we also wanted to make it a full product, like you can see the whole game.
And what about the art? Like, are you guys going to be using art from the card game, or is it all new original art?
I think it's mostly going to be new art. Adam, who does all the art for the card game, is an extremely fast worker, and he's also, you know, he and Christopher created this universe together. Like, they run everything by each other, anything that needs to be developed. So, you know, it helps that you don't have to go to an artist and say, this is this character, and he wears this and looks like this. Like, he just knows all those characters and just can crank out art really quickly. So it is pretty cool to be able to have written some of these adventures and then they get officially made into Sentinels and, you know, art and everything. So that's kind of been a thrill for me.
Cool. I just want to make sure I had this right. Steve brought this up in the chat window. So you're going to be full character creation rules?
Yes.
Okay.
The core rule book will, you can make your own heroes, you can make your own villains. Environments, which are also a part of the card game, mm-hmm. are, you know, they do have some rules in the role-playing game as well. So there'll be rules on making those and all kinds of ways to customize all those things.
Okay. Well, I'm really excited. I wish I have to pick this up and read through it. I haven't had a chance to yet. If you were talking to somebody for the first time who maybe hasn't played the card game, but, you know, a lot of our listeners, we've been doing this for, God, how long has it been, Walt? 4 or 5 years?
And we got some miles in the tires.
Yeah, I have a kid who's younger than this podcast. And we've talked to a lot of the, you know, Steve and Chris are kind enough to grace us. And we've talked to, you know, the guys behind Hero Games. We've had some of the guys on from Evil Hat. We've talked to a lot of our listeners are, you know, deep into the superhero RPG genre. If you're talking to one of our listeners who maybe hasn't, you know, dabbled in the card game, how would you pitch them on Sentinels, the RPG?
Well, I'd say a lot of the heroes in it follow very familiar archetypes if you are familiar with literally any other superhero property. So there's a lot of good touch points, but also the characters have their own spins, and it's a very interconnected universe, I guess you could say, because it is mainly, you know, two guys who have come up all this themselves, but they've treated it like, you know, this is a comic book company that's been publishing since the 40s, so there's kind of this metafiction angle to it, too. So I think there's some surprises in there as well, but you're never fully, like, you can be like, oh, this character's like that, and this character's like that. You know, there's always ways to access the material.
And speaking of the history, that's the project that Darren Watts and I are blessed to be working on right now. We are, in fact, writing the history of Sentinel Comics from the 1930s up to the present day, and writing all this wonderfully hilarious, gossipy stuff about creators that never existed, and, you know, TV shows that never aired, and it's we're pretty deep in the weeds on this one, but I think when I got a note that said, okay, one of our characters is getting a late campy 60s TV show, McGee, we need you to figure out what C-list celebrities popped up as what villain. And I said, oh my God, that's incredible. And he said, but I need to know one thing right now. Who was Paul Lynde on that show? So yes, And I'm so excited about this, and so happy to be a part of this in any way, shape, or form. But we're having a lot of fun with this, and I think people will get a kick out of it. And even if nothing else, just sitting there figuring out which is stuff that we made up and which is stuff that actually happened in the game industry. We just filed the proper names off of it and attributed it to fake people in our universe.
That is some very deep metafiction.
It's scary at times.
We are so inside baseball right now, it's almost cricket.
Yes, indeed.
Chris, help me out here. You've been telling me about this project that you and Darren are working on for a while now. You're doing the history of it. That's really cool. If someone wants to see the fruits of your labor, where do they do that at? When's this going to come out?
Well, that's kind of up in the air right now, because as we've clearly established, the people at Greater Than are insanely busy, and our project is by its very nature, it suffers more so than others, because what we're doing depends on really, 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 really granular bits of trivia about this universe. So, and I'm not complaining, but just, we have to get more things in place before we can get started doing what we're doing. But it's a go, and we're still hoping we'll get it out to you as soon as possible. I know Darren and I have it all outlined, and we're ready to go, and hopefully we'll get it to the people here soon.
All right. Well, help me. I mean, so it's not going to be part of the RPG.
It's my understanding now. Okay, now granted, I'm the lowest guy on the totem pole. I'm underneath the totem pole at this point, but it will be part of the RPG line, since it's about that universe. But as far as I know, it's going to be its own thing. I could be totally wrong about this, and I usually am, especially when I've been up since 2 a.m. But that's what I think is happening.
So it'll be the History of Sentinel Comics, available at fine booksellers everywhere near you, and it'll be out sometime 2018.
That yes, God please, yes, hopefully yes.
Okay, cool, that works. All right, looking forward to seeing that. And Dave, anything else you want to add about Sentinels before we move on to Steve and the cool stuff he's working on?
The starter kit, as I said. 6 adventures, so plenty of material there, 6 full characters, and the whole thing's like $20, so how can you go wrong?
Okay, now I'm looking at the PDF on RPG Now, which is $10. I guess you're talking about the physical copy. If they want to where do they go?
Game stores have them now. Okay. It's in distribution. You can get them directly from Greater Than Games. But yeah, also if you just want the PDF, even cheaper, drive through or the Greater Than Game Store.
Okay, cool. That works. So your local friendly game store, go in and they should have it. So cool. Mr. Kenson, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right. And you just released a cool Christmas themed adventure for Icons.
Yes. Beginning of the month, we released Santa Claus versus the Metaskulks, which is a fun little Christmas-themed superhero adventure. I've always been a big fan of the holiday-themed comic book stories. I don't know if anybody else read the DC Digests back in the day, but DC did a bunch of holiday-themed ones that were collecting, like Christmas with the Superheroes. Sort of a thing that collected a bunch of their, Christmas-themed stories. So I have very fond recollections of that. So I wanted to do something along those lines, that was holiday-themed. Dan Houser came up with the Menace of the Man-O-Lantern adventure for, we did it in time for Halloween. And so I wanted to do something for the Christmas season. So now it's Saving Santa Claus and spirit of giving, essentially, from evil psychic shape-shifting aliens.
Those sound familiar. We haven't heard about those before,
right?
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. I was back in 2052. It seemed like DC was doing Christmas annuals that were kind of lighthearted and sort of fun. Kind of missed those.
Well, I checked out last year's DC Christmas special, or I guess holiday special nowadays, and honestly, it's one of the more solid DC books I've read in a while. There's naturally, I'd like this story. There's a Batman Detective Chimp team up, which was just absolutely delightful. So, I mean, if you can find a copy, track it down. I'm looking forward to this year's.
It just came out, didn't it, this week?
I think so.
Okay, cool. I'll give it a look.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I remember one. There was, in Point of New 52. It was Batwoman, and she was giving one of her neighbor friends, who she'd rescued, a menorah. And those are the only details I remembered. It was just it was a really sweet story, not one you usually associate with, say, Batwoman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, cool. So people can get that right now on RPG Now. And what's in the future for Icons?
Oh gosh, working on a bunch of different things, and you know the thing with Ad Infinitum and Icons is it's really it's basically just a two-man show. It's me and Dan Hauser, you know, working on stuff in our spare time, you know, when we have the opportunity to. So, you know, there's sort of the notion of a schedule, you know, in the sense of, hey, here's a vague list of things we'd like to do. And it sort of gets done in some semblance of order. And then when things are done, we put them out, you know. But you know, because we distribute through Drive-Thru and RPG Now, we don't really have to worry about soliciting or putting out products through distribution or any of that sort of stuff. So stuff just comes out when it's done, pretty much as far as that goes. I don't it's hard to announce anything until it's at that point. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's in various stages of doneness. Or not, as the case may be. But yeah, I'm working on a few other things. Dan has another adventure in mind that he wants to do. I've got another third-party adventure in the works that's a pretty good-sized one. And I've got some ideas for some additional stuff to follow up on the Origins source book that I released earlier this year, which has been pretty well received. Folks seem to be enjoying that.
Yeah, so. Origins was pretty great. I've been using that a lot. Thanks awesome. For that.
Glad to hear it.
So it sounds like there are new Icons products in the future. We just can't say what or when.
Yeah, it's hard to just say definitively what it's going to be. It's primarily, the primary goal with Icons has been to support it mostly with adventures. And I still plan to pretty much continue that and some additional source material, but I don't really want to turn Icons into a mill of cranking out rule books by any sense of the imagination. I think the rules are pretty complete as they are. They don't really need a lot else. I might do some more characters and the like. Adversaries was a fun book to do, and again was pretty well received. So more villains or more heroes or the like are always possibilities as well.
So we're not gonna be seeing Third Ed anytime soon.
Oh gods, I hope not. I really have no desire to do another edition of it anytime soon.
How about a giant Icons omnibus, like so, all the different things put together, like Origins and some of the other things that we've seen?
Well, along those lines, I did do what I referred to as the first giant size Icons product, which is collecting all of Dan's Rise of the Phalanx adventures into one book. And I might end up doing something along those lines with some more adventure material. And collect some of the old adventures, especially some of the ones I can update a little bit, and put those together into giant-sized collections that I can also make available in print, because folks like to have books.
I'm a fan of books myself. Yes.
Right, and the adventures themselves are, for the most part, a little short to be individual print products. But collect four or five of them together and they make a pretty decent sized book. So I'm still looking at that as well.
Now, one of the things I've always admired was that you have a really tight connection with your third party guys. You always see that you're quick to jump in and help out whenever you can. I think that's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Whenever I can.
What's that?
I do what I can.
it shows, and you have an enthusiastic third party showing out there. Mm. And I was wondering, with things like A to Z and Origins and stuff like that, when third party stuff comes out, are they basically writing for the Icons assembled core rules, or are we seeing a lot of stuff like A to Z and Origins sneaking into some of these third party offerings?
I haven't seen a lot of the supplemental stuff find its way into third-party offerings. Sometimes there will be, you know, some mentions of it. You know, somebody will say, hey, this, you know, like, optional rule from A to Z might be useful, you know, kind of a thing, you know, just sort of as an aside.
I know Jason mentioned it a few times in the Supervillain Handbook.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, he really loved Nax. He worked those into a lot of the characters.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen some influence in, like, the way I presented villains in Adversaries. Some other third-party publishers have kind of, you know, adopted that way of writing up villains. I just find it more interesting than just a, you know, sort of laundry list of powers and, you know, you have power name and, you know, a numerical rank is just kind of dull. So, but yeah, not a, like, people really like building off of it per se, but I think people are making some use of it, I hope.
Well, I find Origins really useful for statting up characters. Just gives you a nice foundation. And whenever I'm writing an adventure, writing up characters, I usually have Origins in the assembled edition, you know, open in different tabs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cross reference and sometimes great power. So
cool.
Yeah, I would say at least I am. So
cool. Yeah, and I'm hoping to work with Joe Wetzel at Inkwell Ideas to incorporate some of the Origins stuff into the Icons Assembler app as well.
Oh, that's coming back?
So it's around. I mean, there's a current version of the app on DriveThru.
Oh, okay.
But we're talking about maybe updating it for some of the stuff that's in Origins.
Oh, that's good news. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And before the podcast, we'd mentioned you're working on the RPG for The Expanse, which, of course, is a famous mm-hmm. novel series. Recently, last year, came out as a TV show on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, that's been a fun project. It's been an interesting change of pace. I'm a big fan of the books and enjoy the show as well. It's been a lot of fun digging into that particular setting and putting things together for that. It's been, you know, a lot of, it's a great excuse to reread the books for research and, you know, highlight all my favorite parts and, you know, put notes together and things like that. So it's been an interesting project.
And you're using the Age system for that?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Is that going to be Kickstarted or?
That is the plan as I understand it, but I don't have any details as far as that goes yet.
Okay, so just sometime in 2018?
Probably early next year, yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll keep an eye out for that. That's is it a big tonal shift for you? I mean, going from superheroes to working in basically hard sci-fi?
It's certainly a change from superheroes, but, you know, it's you know, pleasant change of pace in some ways. You know, I mean, I've done a lot of different stuff over the years, and oftentimes, you know, one of the things that's nice is being able to have a break and work on, you know, another project, you know, that's something different. So my last big Green Ronin project prior to this was Blue Rose. So The Expanse is definitely a change from that. Although it's looking at the Age system in a different way, it's, you know, a different, you know, experience. So it keeps me engaged.
Okay. Hey, you know, we've talked about noir with Chris to some depth here in a previous podcast. Would you call The Expanse kind of sci-fi noir, or is that reaching?
I think elements of it. I mean, Miller's story arc in Leviathan Wakes is very noirish, unsurprisingly, because he's the, you know, drunk, divorced detective. You know, I mean, he's basically a space noir character for all intents and purposes. So yeah, I mean, there's certainly a noirish element to it. But I think that in many ways, the expanse doesn't really have quite the same sort of noir notion that everyone comes to a bad end. It doesn't certainly ever, have a happy ending, but the expanse, in many ways is much more about sort of the, progress of history and what it's like to live, during momentous times in history, when big things are happening.
Have you guys all read Persepolis Rising?
I have.
I haven't got to it yet.
It's very interesting.
Damn, I'm way behind now. Okay. I want to ask you something about it, but that's, yeah. All right. Oh, cool. All right. Well, hey, looking forward to that. Well, we've got a few minutes before we have to wrap up. What are you guys reading right now in terms of comics or novels?
For me, it was just finishing Persepolis Rising.
Okay. Dave, how about you? You've been quiet for a while.
Most of my reading I've been doing through Marvel Unlimited. We got a subscription for free when we were working on the Marvel RPG, and I've just kind of been hooked since. So I'm catching up on, 6 months ago plot lines.
So you're right in the middle of Secret Empire?
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
It kind of gets better.
Yeah. Well, I already know everything that happens because I don't worry about spoilers, like when I'm going to be 6 months behind anyway.
Yeah.
I'm also reading some Star Wars stuff. Like there was a Star Wars short story collection, I think called From a Different Point of View, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, it's the story of Star Wars in chronological order, but told from everybody else's point of view that's not one of the main characters.
Hmm.
My favorite one so far being the guy who decided not to fire on the escape pod coming out of Princess Leia's ship because there were no life forms about it. And he goes into his backstory about how his supervisor had been giving him trouble about...
That's a performance review, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was wasting ammo too much and things weren't calibrated and he needed to fill out all these forms and that was the reason he didn't fire.
And this was done as a parody?
The book as a whole isn't, but with any short story collection, you get a lot of different tones of different things. Mm-hmm. Like some of them are very much like, oh, the rebel soldier who sacrificed his life bravely and blah, 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 that, is pretty much what you'd expect. But then you get the occasional like, oh, this is from the point of view of that droid that blew itself up before so that R2 could get adopted by Luke, and...
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are kind of played for laughs, but they're all still like the same story,
It's an interesting notion.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it, but like any short story collection, it's all over the place. And, obviously in a Star Wars mood lately. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Right.
I got someone asked me my opinion about Porgs the other day. And I was like, has anyone seen the movie yet?
Not yet.
It's not in a place to have it. I mean, generally, I'm in favor of cute CGI things on principle, but, anyway. Chris, what are you reading these days?
Still reading Flash, still enjoying the plot, still being reminded why I really hate teen sidekicks, still reading Green Lanterns, even though Tim Seeley's turned it into a comedy book, at least it's funny, I'll give it that. Still reading Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, because Robert Venditti is still mostly killing it there.
And, yeah, that's a good book.
Yeah, and I've been continuing my jaunt through C and D list Marvel characters from the Bronze Age. I'm going through late period Ghost Rider, and just fascinated at how like they're taking like the stunt bike rider and they're riding that profession like it's a samurai in a Kurosawa film. They're talking about the honor of the stunt cyclist. you know, and it wants to be a lot deeper than, hey, he's on a motorcycle and his head's on fire, you would think. And it's kind of reminded me of everything that's just wonderful, either the wonderfully great or wonderfully terrible about Bronze Age Marvel. Loving every page of it. Exactly. Loving every page of it.
This is from the 70s, right?
Yeah, although I'm now just transitioned over to the 80s, and it seems like the book hasn't gotten there yet. Like I said, you know, it's building these feuds among stunt cyclists, you know, about 10 years when, you know, that genre, you know, leapt its particular Snake River Canyon. So, you know, it's just funny. It's just, it's the obliviousness to the trends that it was built on is kind of charming in a way.
I wonder what the competitive stunt cyclist scene is like these days.
You know, I imagine today it's like all extreme, and like you jump over like, you know, like spikes and stuff like that, and probably a lot mopier, I'd guess.
are they thinking just X Games?
Yeah, you know, in the 70s they were doing it because, you know, they were bored, and, you know, and you know, there were, you know, you didn't have too many other options in life. These days, I imagine it like they're like, what drives me to jump? The ennui.
You know, you just never know what's going to happen when you ask Chris a question.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
fine. Thank you.
I just didn't know we were going to get into existential motorcyclists, but there we are.
Never know.
Yeah. Well, what are you liking these days?
Valiant Comics is just crushing it, so I'm reading a lot of their stuff.
You like Valiant Comics?
I love Valiant Comics.
No way! Bit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah. You know, but Bloodshot Salvation, really a nice twist on that theme, and then. Ninja K, the Ninjak title that's out right now, going into the history of the program that spawned them and all of their members basically being hunted down is a lot of fun. But I got into this book series recently, the Galaxy's Edge series, and it's the one series in recent history that I haven't been able to put it down. I'm on book four now. And I'm chewing through them because they're so much fun. Oh, sorry, dog. But their tagline is Star Wars, but not Star Wars. And it's imagine the initial stories told from the point of view of the stormtroopers if it was set against an Afghanistan style war instead of like World War II. What captured me first was the art on the cover of the main book. It always does me good when I look at a piece of art and somebody is holding a weapon correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that they've at least done the research. You know, fingers not on the trigger, they're not holding it up in the air so it's framed in the shot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so I got into the series.
They're not firing like a squad support weapon standing up.
Yes, exactly. You know, that kind of stuff. But I mean, the first book really, really touched because one of the guys that is involved in writing it, Nick Cole, is a former military guy, so he knows a lot of the politics, and it really touched what it was like to be a guy in a special operations service who's forced to deal with the politics of the decisions they're being forced to execute. So, I mean, and then of course the second book is more space opera, straight out space opera with like, and the narrative of the books as you go through the series jumps back and forth between the two types, hard military sci-fi and then more space opera. So it's a fun series. I recommend it.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, that's about our time. I got to go put on a festive sweater and go to a daycare Christmas concert tonight.
Are you sure it didn't happen?
I'll just record it for you. My kid has to sing all 10 minutes of Feliz Navidad.
Oh, wow.
Did you know how long that song is? I was practicing with it this week. That's like Inagata De Vida length. It just never ends. It's like Daft Punk. It just keeps coming back around.
But in the words of Steve Buscemi, hey, Jose Feliciano, you got no complaints.
Chris, what does that mean?
From Fargo.
Oh, okay. All right.
He goes to the celebrity room. He's trying to impress the hooker. And really, is there anything sadder a character's ever done than trying to impress a hooker? Sorry, off on Coen Brothers stuff.
Did you not like Pretty Lady?
Pretty Woman?
Pretty Woman. Shit, what's wrong with me? Yeah, that.
There's that Michael kicking in.
The film that taught a generation how fun and profitable prostitution is. How could you not love that film?
Right. That was my point. Dave, thank you very much for coming out. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Yep, no problem.
Chris, Steve, Walt, thank you guys. Appreciate you coming out.
Pleasure as always.
And anyone who wants the PDF copy of Sentinels RPG, please hit up what was the email again? Walt, you're on mute.
Oh, I thought yeah, somebody else. Stubers, cbr@gmail.com. Send us lots of email.
Yep, so just put Sentinels in the subject line. We'll get you a copy. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Blessed Solstice, everybody.
Happy Festivus.